You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Food advertising, it's pretty hard to navigate. I get sucked in by whole grains and probiotics and those fibre claims, and then suddenly I'm eating a snack that I thought was healthy, but is actually very high in sugar. I like to think that I see through advertising most of the time, but it does impact us all. So I talked to Belinda Castle from Consumer NZ about what the challenges are for consumers around food and beverage advertising, if they've gotten sneakier over the years, and how advertising affects children and vulnerable communities. Food marketing is linked to childhood obesity, and we have high statistics of that in New Zealand, with 29.6% of children between the ages of 2 and 14 years considered overweight or obese, and unfortunately higher statistics for Māori and Pacific people and people from areas of high deprivation. I started off by asking Belinda about what challenges we face as consumers.
The challenges that consumers face with food advertising is that it's everywhere. So traditionally we used to think of food and drink advertising being on the TV or in magazines or even on product packaging with some of the claims, but now it's, you know, on our sports fields with sponsorship, it's on the internet, it's on our social media platforms, it's on the back of buses, it's really everywhere, so it's extremely difficult to get away from it.
Yeah, and with it changing and becoming everywhere over the years, has that made it more kind of deceptive and cleverer, or how does that impact us?
Well, I think the way the digital marketing's gone, it's become a lot more sophisticated and sort of targeted. So, you know, you might be looking at a particular article or something online or on your social media, and then these food ads will pop up and you might think, oh, actually, you know, maybe a burger would be a good idea, or a can of Coke. So it's kind of getting into the activities that we're doing. And, you know, when you look at any of the major sporting events or music events, quite often they are sponsored by, by an unhealthy food or beverage, whether that's food or in some cases alcohol.
And when we're talking about food and beverage advertising, where is the line drawn? What is qualified as like misleading and deceptive conduct?
Well, obviously the Fair Trading Act, has requirements that ads can't be misleading or deceptive. And then the advertising codes, which are a voluntary code, they have some guidelines. But it's a bit of a blurred, line really. And I think when we're talking about advertising, and particularly to children and some other groups, they are vulnerable. They don't understand what advertising is, what the intent of it is. They don't, recognise sales tactics, because at the end of the day, the companies are doing this marketing and advertising to sell more products. So, you know, you're dealing with audiences that might not be aware of that.
Yeah, speaking on children and vulnerable communities, what are the rules and impact on them?
Well, the impacts are huge on them because, as I mentioned, you know, depending on the age of the child, they don't recognise advertising. There's really strong evidence with regards to children that this unhealthy food marketing does lead to increased childhood obesity rates. And in New Zealand, we have some pretty shocking statistics with child obesity and with poor dental health as well. So there's really strong evidence that we need to be doing something about this, because these communities need looking after, they need protecting.
What are some other vulnerable communities that might also be impacted by food advertising?
Well, there's some of the communities in the lower decile areas. There's some evidence that they are targeted by more advertising, so obviously they're being bombarded more often. There's possibly communities that English might not be their first language. There's a whole host of communities that aren't just restricted to children. And when we're looking at, say, advertising that might be using celebrities or sports stars, I mean, some of these vulnerable communities may be particularly influenced by them as well.
Is there much research in the area of how advertising impacts, say, people with intellectual disabilities or mental health conditions? Because I haven't been able to find that much research that investigates that area.
I'm not aware of any particular areas of research, but I know there is concern in the public health sector, for example, that when there's a lot of marketing of, say, alcohol products that are online, this is obviously more for adults, that those vulnerable communities may potentially purchase more products, and then alcohol has a known effect on mental health and community harm as well. So there is real concern there, but possibly not as much of the evidence as there is with unhealthy food and obesity.
And what are some next steps that we can take in this area?
Well, consumers and public health groups all really want this area regulated. I mean, consumer, earlier this year we published information about a survey we did, and there's really strong consumer support, and that's, they want everything regulated. So TV advertising, online advertising, and the public health groups and communities really strongly support that as well. World Health Organization, you know, it's not just small groups of people wanting these changes. It's coming from the grassroots up.
And is there any indication that government is going to put forward any legislation in this area?
We're not aware of any in the pipeline, but we're pushing hard. We're hopeful that it's happening. And overseas, countries are starting to step up and consumers lagging behind. I mean, the UK recently have put forward proposals that's going to, you know, to really severely restrict online marketing of unhealthy food and beverages. And, you know, the way our obesity stats are stacking up, New Zealand needs to step up as well and, you know, start putting some regulations in place.
Yeah, because like you were saying earlier, it is a bit of a grey area, and that legislation would help. And you can see that by the Bad Taste Food Awards that Consumer did. Was that last year?
We've been doing them for a few years now. So we get nominations from our members and from the public, or just from products that we find ourselves. And, you know, there's food claims on lots of products, and often these claims are on products that are either high in sugar, high in saturated fat or salt. So they're not good everyday foods, but they're claiming to be high in calcium or, you know, high in fibre or something. But, you know, there's a lot of better options out there.
Yeah, what are some of the sneakiest ones that you've seen?
Oh, well, you get the old 99% fat-free claims on a packet of sweets, for example, that would not have any fat in them anyway. You know, lots of vitamin claims on juice products that are, you know, full of sugar, even if it's sugar from natural fruit, it's still concentrated and it still has an effect on, on our health and on tooth decay. So, yeah, there's a wide range. We're seeing new claims coming in all the time on sort of new food products. And then there's also the claims that they don't really mean anything. So, you know, you've got the natural and you've got the premium and all these types of claims. There's no legislation around them, so they don't mean a lot.
What's some of your top tips for people heading to the supermarket wanting to look through some of those, some of that deception?
Well, it's pretty boring, but a good way to actually compare products is to look at the nutrition information panel. So then you can compare per 100 grams the levels of sugar and salt and saturated fat. And then on the back, you've also got the ingredients list, so you can see what the first ingredient is. So if one of the first or second ingredients is sugar, for example, it's probably not a good bet. The other thing you can look at is a bit of a quicker look is the health star rating, which is on the front of the food. But unfortunately, the health star rating is only voluntary, so it doesn't, you know, you're not going to see it on all products, which is a real shame. So we're also pushing for that to become mandatory as well.
So is there anything else that you would like to cover today?
Oh, I think it's just really important when consumers are considering claims and what's on food and the marketing, is that they really just think about whether these products are an everyday food or in an occasional food, and just get back to the basics and try to eat as many unprocessed foods as possible and really look behind those claims by reading labels.
How would you suggest to support children and vulnerable communities around this?
Well, I think to really support them and protect them, we need regulations in place. Unfortunately, there's just so much sophisticated marketing going on around, and children are bombarded every day, vulnerable communities. Even if the companies aren't directly targeting them, they're still seeing it. You know, it's everywhere. So unfortunately, until we get regulation in place, it's a tough act to protect.
That was Belinda Castle from Consumer NZ about food and beverage advertising and the deception around that.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.